Earlier in the program, we met Kwame Livingston and Eddie Escobar, two of the so-called Invincibles, a couple of guys among the almost 750,000 people in Miami-Dade County younger than 65 years old, living without health insurance today. Now, both have jobs, both are working, but neither have coverage through work. Livingston is a freelance web developer. Escobar is a realtor. Livingston plans on getting health insurance before the individual mandate goes into force in January. Escobar does not. Now, they will have dozens of plans to choose from beginning tomorrow when open enrollment begins. Chuck Vodica is a partner at independent insurance agency InSource in Miami. Mark Abba is the general manager of the employee benefits division of MHG Insurance Brokers based in Fort Lauderdale. The two employee benefit executives do not think Livingston and Escobar will be paralyzed by too many plans if they want coverage.
No, I don't believe it will be in terms of the number of plans. If they're doing it on their own, it will be like a cafeteria-style option. And yes, they could get avalanched in terms of looking at it and thinking, where do I go from here?
Perception is reality. And if your perception is that you don't need health insurance or want health insurance, then you'll go that route. But if you really want health insurance, I think there will be options.
I want to talk about that first option you mentioned, those who don't want health insurance. Escobar is one of those who has said he simply would rather pay the fine than pay the premium at this point.
I was shocked at how much I would have to pay, given that I don't smoke. I'm barely a drinker if I go out. And it was almost $200 a month. Next year, once I'm married, I'll be able to jump on my fiance's healthcare plan, which when we looked at the numbers this year, is somewhere around $70 or something like that for me to add myself onto her plan. So, I mean, that seems reasonable, but $200 just seems an extraordinary amount of money for somebody who, you know, I have no real need for a doctor unless it's an emergency type situation.
Chuck, that incentive, that fee or that tax that individuals may face come January 1st if they don't have health insurance, Escobar is willing to pay that, I guess, until his nuptials and is able to add to his wife's plan. But talk to us about the incentives that are included here as it tries to get the almost 4 million Floridians who are uninsured onto insurance and in the risk pool.
I think the penalty tax, whatever you want to call it, is not significant enough that if someone doesn't want insurance, they would buy it anyway because they were afraid of the penalty.
Kwame Livingston, the other gentleman we met earlier in the program, who currently is working, does not have health insurance, but wants to have health insurance, said that currently, prior to the ACA open enrollment, just too expensive. He was finding plans at $350 a month, and he doesn't use it that much to justify that kind of expense when he's healthy. And this is what he's looking for in a plan.
$150 is reasonable. I'd like to go to a doctor of my choosing, or at least be able to create a reputation, you know, have a relationship with one.
What kind of deductible are you willing to pay or a copay?
I'd say $20 to $30.
For a copay?
Yeah, for a copay, I think is fairly reasonable.
So a $20 or $30 copay without an HMO, he's looking for, I guess, Mark, what's called a PPO, so he can decide the kinds of doctors he wants within a bigger health network at $150 a month. Do you think he'll find it?
No, I really don't. And the PPO, I mean, most of the PPO plans can be considered Cadillac of the sort. Probably what he's looking at is a POS, which is
point of service.
A point of service plan. And even those are now changing. You can look at point of service plans that are actually HMOs, but just on a national level. So what he's maybe looking for is that, will he get a PPO? I don't believe so. Chuck, I haven't seen that even in terms of it being out there or offered.
Chuck, you've gone through the navigator training. What kind of armchair guidance could you give Kwame?
I think that at this point in time, none of us really know what the cost is going to be or what the network is going to be of the different providers.
I want to ask about the 3/4 of residents in Miami-Dade under the age of 65 who do have health insurance and the 2/3 of people in Broward County under the age of 65 who do have health insurance. A great majority of them are likely in what's called the group market, so they get health insurance through their employers or through their spouse's employer. How is all of this impacting, Chuck, the pricing that you're seeing for that kind of insurance as we move into 2014?
Well, we have been told by a number of the carriers that people that have traditional group health insurance plans may see increases significant over what they're currently paying.
20%, 30%?
A significant could be 25 to 50%. Wow. Under 50 employees, right now, insurance companies can rate on the health of that group, and they can have a pretty high disparity of rates between younger and older people. And they can also not offer all the benefits that are considered the essential health benefits of the of ACA. Those plans, when they renew next year, will be in compliance with ACA, and they're projecting very large increases in some groups if they're younger and healthier. The groups that are older and sicker may actually see a decrease in their renewal with ACA.
Young and healthy, higher prices. Old and sick, lower prices.
And I do believe that's what's going to happen. It's community pooling. It's a fancy way of saying you've got all of these people in there. Who's going to pay for the sick? Well, the youngster. And when you try and tell a young person, you know, what you're paying now as a group, you're going to be paying more. And I do firmly believe that's going to happen. It's really the model of socialist medicine, but this isn't a socialist healthcare system. But that's the way it works.
In a service economy like we have here in South Florida, gentlemen, a lot of these companies are generally small companies.
Correct.
How is this going to impact the vitality of these companies when they're looking at these kinds of cost increases for the insurance they're providing their employees? Mm-hmm. And the impact that it may have on the sustainability of employer-based coverage with a small company.
When you go to these people, they may say to you, the owners, I just want to get rid of it. Send everybody to the exchange. Can't be doing this. Don't need it. That's fine. You have to then look, without putting on a moral step and saying, you know, this is all wrong, explain to them about, you know, keeping the employees, the retention factor, looking after them, doing the right thing. I mean, if the plans are there, we can move to the ACA plans, to the shop, as they're calling it. Or we can move to traditional. There are options, but it's a way of looking at that and trying to get the employer to understand exactly what is going on here.
Chuck, what do you think from a local economic growth perspective, as you see those kinds of cost increases that you're predicting for local employers on the group side, small employers in a service-based economy, an economy that is built on visitors coming here, is it sustainable for the local economy, local employers?
We have to be patient through this process. And we have to remember that prior to this whole thing, if I had a child in my house over 22 years of age that wasn't a full-time student or even wasn't a full-time student, they had to come off of my health insurance. Mm-hmm. If I had cancer 2 years ago, I couldn't buy health insurance today. A lot of these things are going to be changing, and I think we need to focus on the good part of it as well, not just the negative.
Absolutely.
And one of the reasons why health insurance has been so expensive here to date is because basically a large sector of the population who feel they don't need it don't buy it. Those are the younger, healthier people, and so negative adverse selection then creates higher premiums for older people who may have health issues. Yet if some of those younger people develop illnesses, they don't get treated right away till they get really bad, and then the sicknesses cause them to have very huge bills and hospital bills. And we're all paying for that. These treatments aren't free. We're paying for them.
Mark, there's a moral argument that's been made, for decades to get to this point. There's the economic argument, obviously, that's been made for a long, long time. And the economic argument for the passage of the ACA was about bending the cost curve of health care by addressing it through health insurance. So if we're looking at 2014 as the individual mandate, 2015 as employer coverage. For larger groups. When does that cost curve begin to get bent?
Well, you're definitely not going to see it. And I would say you're not going to see it 2014, obviously. I mean, Chuck and I have been talking about this. You're just not going to see it. 2016, 2018, you might start seeing something, because by then the plans will be mature, we'll be looking at it, but it still doesn't address the question or the point that Chuck made quite rightly. What are the states going to do about it?